This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn now to Isaiah 46, and let's look at the first four verses of Isaiah 46. As the prophet declares, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, and they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me, from the belly which are carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he. Even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and I will carry, and I will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? This morning I'm going to ask you to seek to prayerfully do some insightful, thoughtful thinking about yourself. Introspection, if you please. I want you to take an honest look at yourself today. Take inventory of your life in order that you might find out just where you are. Is your life on the prophet's side or on the loss? The prophet here speaks about the many people who worship gods that they have to carry. Bel and Nebo were the chief gods of the Babylonians. The word Bel means Lord or Master. You remember the name Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. He actually was named after his god, Bel. Belshazzar means the master, or it is a prayer actually, master protect the king. Nebuchadnezzar was named after the god Nebo. And Nebo means the lofty one. And it also is a prayer, O lofty one, protect the borders of the nation. So the kings, Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, were named after the two major deities of the Babylonians. Now, quite often, when they would have their celebrations and their holidays in which they would worship their god, they would put the idols of Bel and of Nebo on these carts. They were huge idols, weighing tons. And they made these carts, these carriages, to hold these idols. And then they would attach the oxen to them, and they would strain as they would pull these carriages down the street. And the gods of the people would pass by in the parade route, sort of like the Pasadena Rose Bowl parade. And as Nebo's statue would come by, the people would all worship and bow down and dance and would go into this worship of Nebo. And as Bel would pass by, they would bow down and worship the god Bel. But the prophet noted here, or that God noted, that their gods had to be carried. They couldn't carry themselves. And actually, it became a strain many times to carry their god. They looked at those oxen as they were straining to pull that cart down the street, holding the head of their god. And so he saw that as a rather interesting, almost humorous kind of thing, of having a god that you had to carry around. He couldn't make it around on his own. You had to carry him. And when you were in trouble and cried unto him, he really couldn't answer you. Now take a careful inventory of your own life. Bel is master or lord. And just who is the Bel of your life? Who is the master and the lord of your life? There are some people who are mastered by their sex drives. That's all they seem to think about. They always bring it up in conversation. In the Bible days, they would be called the worshipers of Ashtoreth. Their lives are governed by their sex drives. There are some people who have a passion to get ahead in life. They want to be in control. They're going to get to the top. They push, they press, they work long hours until they finally drop of a heart attack because they want to strive to get to the top of the pile. And in the Bible, they would be known as worshipers of Mammon. Yet there are others who their big thing is sports. We're almost to the playoffs of the NBA. Soon, a few teams will be eliminated and the rest will start in competition. And now's where the season really gets going. The rest has been preliminary, but we'll be watching carefully as the playoffs develop and as we see which teams will end up in the finals. And the NBA finals are just about here. But before we actually have gotten to the finals of the NBA, we've already started now our baseball season. And the teams have already begun to square off, and the Angels are 3-1 thus far. Or I didn't hear about last night. I don't want to happen. But anyhow, we are now avidly watching to see what's going to happen, who will be in the World Series, and who will win the World Series. But before the World Series is complete, we'll have already started into our football season, and it'll be interesting to see if the Rams are going to be able to make it this year. And so here we are. You know, that Fiddler on the Roof has that one song, Sunrise, Sunset, and in it there is a line that says, one season following another. And I think that well describes really the whole sports scene as people have this pleasure mania and just are so deeply involved in these pleasurable things. And in the Bible days, they would have said, well, they worship Molech, the god of pleasure. But Mammon, Molech, Ashtoreth, they were gods that had to be carried. They would fashion them out, but they would have to carry them around and set them in their places because these gods weren't able to carry themselves. Now, as you look at your own life, what is the master passion of your life? What is it that has captivated your heart, your mind, your life? What is it that occupies your thought process constantly? You see, we are all walking down this road of life, but one day you're going to get to the end of the road. And have you ever wondered where you will be when you get to the end of the road? The Bible teaches us that ultimately there are only two destinations. The road that you are walking will either lead you to heaven or it will lead you to hell. Now, there are many people who are walking the path of death. They have chosen gods that they must carry. But even as the prophet observed that the oxen had a hard time pulling the cart, straining and struggling, many times when a person chooses a false god and they are carrying that god, they find that the god gets very heavy and becomes a heavy burden to carry as you get down the road a ways. Eventually, these gods that you carry become a very heavy burden to you. I had dinner this week with a friend who was sharing with me that as he was growing up as a boy, his ambition was to one day owe the bank $1 million. His theory was that in order to owe the bank $1 million, you'd have to have a lot of collateral. And so he wanted to have enough collateral that he could borrow $1 million and owe $1 million. That was his ambition. He was sharing with me at dinner that he fulfilled his ambition 100 times over. He now owes over $100 million to the bank. Daily, his payment daily is over $24,000 a day. Over $720,000 a month is his monthly payment to the bank. He said, and that's just one bank. He said, I owe two. Now, that could become a heavy burden. A heavy load to carry. Think of it. Fortunately for my friend, he knows the Lord and serves the Lord and has committed a vast portion of his fortune to the Lord. And he really considers it all belonging to the Lord so he could sleep nights. If I had to come up with $24,000 payments every day for a month, I wouldn't be able to sleep nights. I mean, it would just do me in. It would be more of a burden than I could ever carry. I see advertised in the paper houses in Newport Beach that sell for $12 million. Now, there are some people whose home becomes their God, and I would think if you spent that much money for a house, it would be sort of, you'd have to sort of make it a God to spend that much money. You would want to decorate it, you know, with the classic kind of antiques and urns from the Ming Dynasty in China and stuff like that. And it would be, you know, be the thing where you'd show your friends through all of the artworks and all of this kind of stuff. But did you realize that taxes on a house that you spent $12 million for would be $120,000 a year just for taxes? Every month, you'd have to pay $12,000 just for taxes to keep that house. Now, that could also become a very heavy burden. You would have a God that you had to carry. Every month, you'd have to carry that load of that God. And so when a person makes a God that has to be carried, they often find that the burden of carrying that God becomes very heavy, taxing. And so God speaks of those who had these gods, Bel and Nebo. They have to be carried. The oxen struggle and strain to pull these carts, heavy carts down the street holding the idols of these gods. Let me say that I do hear evangelists and preachers sometimes telling you that you must carry your God. That unless you send in your support this month, your God is going to be in big trouble and will have to face bankruptcy or even close down shop if you don't come through. And so please send your generous support in the envelope that we've provided in this letter, you know, and that God must be carried by man, that God is not able to support himself, but he depends upon you. First of all, let me just say, as for me, I don't want a God that I have to carry. I need a God who carries me. I don't want a God who is dependent upon me. I am totally dependent upon God. And if any man tells you that you've got to carry God, he is a false prophet. God doesn't need you to carry him. You need God to carry you. And thus, the second portion of our text, God speaks about himself, that he is the one who carries the people. And he declares that he begins to carry them from the womb. Now, God spoke to Jeremiah when he called him to his prophetic ministry. And he said, "Before I framed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations." In other words, from the time that you were born, I've been carrying you. I've been plotting your course. I've been planning your life. I've ordained the work that you're to accomplish. Paul the Apostle, in writing concerning his ministry, said that God actually separated him from his mother's womb for those purposes that God had in mind for Paul to fulfill. And surely, as you look back in your life, you can see how God has carried you. I can look back and see how God separated me from my mother's womb and has been carrying me all the way along. Now, God said that he started to carry you when you're in your mother's womb, and he will carry you until your hair turns frosty gray. God carried me from my mother's womb, and now that what I have left is turning frosty gray, he continues to carry me. He doesn't let us down. He doesn't forsake us. But God is faithful. And as we sang, "All the way my Savior leads me." And we could well sing, "All the way my Savior carries me," because God has sustained me and God has carried me all the way. And that's the kind of God I serve. Not one that I have to carry around. Not one that has become a burden to me, but one who carries me. Now, as God speaks to them, he said that he is carrying them, that he has carried them, and that he will carry them. I carried you from the womb. I am carrying you, and I will carry you until your hair turns frosty white. All the way. Now, in the past, in the future. My life will be sustained. My life will be maintained by God. The writer of the book of Hebrews quotes God as saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Jesus promised his disciples, "I will be with you until the end of the age." Now, there are two times in life when it seems that we need to be carried. First of all, when we come forth from the womb. And we carry our little babies around. And what a joy and a blessing it is to carry those helpless little infants. They can't get around on their own. You have to lift them up. You have to carry them from the womb. And a lot of times as we get into the later years, we begin to get a little feeble. We need someone to sort of help us, to steady us when we are getting in the car or out of the car. And so as we approach that time when we are ready to leave the earth, it seems that there are necessity sometimes for people to carry us again. But from birth till death, all through our life, the Lord carries us, his children. Now, God said three things about them. First of all, he said, I have made you. That is, you are not here by accident. You did not evolve. You are a creation of God. God created you, and thus there is a purpose for your existence. If you are the byproduct of an accident, then there is no purpose of your existence. It's just all pure chance. And that's why people today find life so meaningless and without purpose, is that they've bought into the evolutionary theory and they think that it's all just accident and it's all chance. Not so. God said, I have made you. And thus, he has made you with a purpose. And there is a meaning for life. Then God said, I will carry you. Now, sometimes we feel quite independent. We do not want to be carried. We want to make it on our own. Up until recently, I was caring for my 94-year-old aunt, who was a very independent person. She wanted to feel completely independent, like she could do things on her own. And so I humored her in that, and I let her feel independent. And yet the poor thing, she was always hiding all of her things of value, always hiding her checkbook. I would go out to make out her bills. Now, I still let her sign the check. I would make out all the bills, but I let her sign it so she could feel independent. But it would take her 3 or 4 hours to find the checkbook. And so I finally got a second checkbook, and I kept the second one, but I didn't let her know that. And I'd go over and fill out the checks and still let her sign them. And so she still had her checkbook, though she couldn't find it. But she wanted to feel independent, you know. So much so, she was quite short, about 5 foot, and she was wanting to get a box off of the top shelf of her closet, and rather than asking someone for help, she climbed up a chair to get the box and fell off the chair and broke her arm and spent 4 months in the hospital because of her independence, wanting to be independent. I don't need any help. And it cost her. It was hurting. It was suffering. And it was being laid up for 4 months. And I wonder how much our independence cost us sometimes in suffering. Lord, I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. And oh, my. Whenever you try to live independently of God, you'll find that it is costly. You have to pay the price. God said, I will carry you. And finally he said, I will deliver you. Now, Judah, the nation, rebelled against God. They sought to be independent of God. In fact, they began to worship gods that they had to carry. They were making idols of Asherah and Molech and Mammon and Baal. And they were worshiping these little idols that they would carry around. And as the result of their worshiping these little idols that they carried around, these false gods, the burden did become heavy. And Judah was taken into captivity by Babylon. And for 70 years, they were slaves in Babylon. But God is here promising, I will deliver you. Bel and Nebal, the gods of the Babylonians, they have to carry those gods, and when the time comes, they will go into captivity themselves, but their gods cannot deliver them. But I will deliver you, God says. Because of your folly, because of your sin, because of your independence, you're turning your back upon God. It will lead you into captivity. But if you will turn again and worship God and call upon Him, He will carry you and He will deliver you. Maybe once you knew the security of having God carry you, but you turned from Him and you started serving other gods, other interests, other things began to master your life. But these things soon became a burden, and you find yourself today struggling and toiling as you're trying to just maintain. It's almost more than you can bear. It may be that you've gone into captivity. You've become a slave to that habit, to your lust, and you need deliverance. God is saying, I made you. I will carry you. And I will deliver you. Oh, how you need to put your trust in a God who can carry you rather than in a God that you have to carry. Again, as the Lord sort of concluded, He said, who will you compare me to? The comparison is between the gods that have to be carried and the God who carries His people. As for me, I want a God who will carry me. And I'm thankful that He does carry me and delivers me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the fact that we can call upon You for help, for deliverance, and that You will carry us through the darkest night, through the deepest water, through the heaviest experiences. And Lord, that You are our strength, and that You sustain us, and that You keep us. Now, Lord, those today who are struggling, trying to carry their gods, under the heavy burden and load of those gods that have brought them into captivity and into bondage to their flesh. Lord, we pray that they might know the power of Your Spirit today in delivering them from the power of darkness, that they might live, Lord, that beautiful life after the Spirit in Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Every man has a God. Some men have gods that they have to carry. Other men worship and serve the true God who carries them. Take a look at yourself, an honest inventory. Are you carrying your God, or is your God carrying you? Has life become a burden? Are you in captivity? If it's really just strain to live, then you need a God that can carry you and help you. And I would encourage you today to just turn your life over to God. Let Him carry you. How glorious is His promise. I will carry you and I will deliver you. The prayer room is open and the pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you at the close of the service. As you turn your life over to the true and the living God, you'll never be sorry. May the Lord be with you now and watch and keep you in His love as you go. May you feel His presence and His nearness. And may the Spirit of God work in your heart as He draws you into that complete commitment of your life to the God who carries His people. And may you know just the comfort and the assurance of God's hand underneath, strengthening, holding, sustaining you. In Jesus' name.